So this is very material to the amount of cash that actually flows into a family in terms of disregards for earned income. Under existing law, we disregard the first $75 of basic work expense. Under welfare reform, that increases to 90, so you get another $15 there. Child care expenses, we currently exclude up to $160 per child. Under welfare reform, that increases to $175 per child and $200 if the child is under age two. And there's another aspect of that that I'll get to in a moment. Under existing law, we have something called the 30 and a third rule. The first $30 of countable income after you've deducted the basic work expense and the child care expense, for a period of 12 months, we will disregard the next $30. Don't count it against their income. And for 4 months, we will disregard another one-third of the balance, one-third of the remainder. But that's only a four-month feature. The whole idea, again, is to give people a little extra infusion of cash for a short period of time as an incentive to get off of welfare. Welfare reform has changed those things in the ways that you see. The 30 and a third remains the same, except that it is applied at an earlier stage, before child care is deducted. So it's applied to a larger base. That allows the family to keep a little more of their earned income. Child care expenses, as you saw, went up to 175 and 200 in basic work expense. The net effect of that, in a sample, a typical case here, which we've drawn out for you. The assumptions we made: working mom, two kids, she's working 40 hours a week at minimum wage, and we're looking at that 4 months during which she gets her 30 and a third disregard. She's paying $250 monthly child care for only one of the children, not for the other, and we're using our 89 AFDC payment level. We assume gross wages of $660. We give her her $75 disregard, her $160 for child care expense, her 30 and a third. She ends up with $264 of countable income. Subtracting that from the AFDC payment standard of 810 for that family, she gets an AFDC benefit of 546. Okay. So now she has, then, looking at her gross wages of 660 plus her AFDC benefit of 546, total income of 1206 under existing rules. Under the new rules, applying the new standards, that increases to 1285. She gets $79, gets to keep another $79 of her earned income.
John, would that same person also be,
go ahead.
Would that same person also be eligible for daycare assistance?
Yes, clearly eligible for daycare assistance in this situation.
Okay, Joan, did you have a question?
Well, no, I have two. First one was, when you're counting income, do you have any kind of standard for people who are self-employed, contractors, subcontractors, that type of person? We have a lot of those, I know, South Central and in Fairbanks, a lot of people.
What we do to calculate self-employment income is we do allow other deductions for cost of doing business. So if a person has business expenses, they can deduct those. And we use essentially the same rules as IRS uses for that, except we don't allow for depreciation.
But for working during quarters, I guess, you know, the working standards, but I was talking
about. Oh, to qualify for the unemployed parent thing? As long as they have reported their income to the state, to Social Security, they'll show up on an interface where we can prove that they, in fact, have worked that quarter. Yes, that'll be countable.
Well, my second question, looking at those child care costs, too, is those aren't really meant to approximate the actual cost of child care.
No,
I mean, I know infant care is like $400 a month.
We grabbed some numbers out of the air just to use. They're based upon some notion. You're right. Those numbers are probably going to be quite a bit higher in most cases, certainly for licensed care. Okay. There are other... Yes,
Eileen?
Under the new act, doesn't the state have the option of increasing that child care allowance up to what they call the local market rate?
What we have the option of doing is going ahead and paying for the child care and then eliminating that deduction. We pay for it. Of course, it's not a cost to them, to the client. So
well, that would be for somebody in this job. Yeah.
But no, in terms of what we're allowed to deduct, we're limited to the 175 and the 200. Yes.
John, where is this? Is something worked in here for transportation?
We didn't build anything in there. The transportation is presumed to be included in the $75 and the $90 basic work expense. There's uniforms, anything special. Yeah. It's also supposed to include payroll taxes and stuff like that. It's supposed to be part of what's considered by that. Hey, I don't make these rules.
Okay, we need to wind up
here. Yeah, we need to.
The next 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to skip over this, then let you read it. There are some additional AFDC program provisions that are important. One of them, important for this discussion, is earned income tax credits are no longer treated as income. Currently, we have to deduct those when they're received back. Now, that will be also excluded, so that's an additional work incentive. See, this is who we expect to be involved. I haven't really talked about the jobs program here. I better do it now, because otherwise this slide isn't going to make a great deal of sense to you. Currently under WIN, a parent is excluded from mandatory participation when their youngest child, until their youngest child reaches age 6. Under the new rules, they will only be excluded until their youngest child reaches age 3. Or the state at its option can drop that to age 1. The impact of this change is that it dramatically increases the universe of mandatory participation, because we have large numbers of welfare clients with children between the ages of 3 and 6, and large numbers between 1 and 3 as well. What you see here, then, is our projection of what's going to happen in terms of numbers of people. In looking at the characteristics of our families, we have about 9.9 or 10% of our cases have no adult in the family, so isn't going to be affected by this at all. About 7.7% are unable to work, they're incapacitated, and about 22% have children under the age of 3. So that leaves roughly 60% of our caseload that will be, quote, mandatory jobs participants. Now, I don't have a number on how many of those people are already working and therefore might be excluded because of the number of hours that they work. Helen, can you help me with how many hours they can be working, need to be working to be excluded? If they're working at least 30 hours a week, then they are excluded from participation in the work requirement. So anyone who's in that category of being a working welfare recipient, working at least that much, would be also deducted from this. What this adds up to is 7,000 cases. 7,000 against our current caseload. That's how many people we're going to have in the jobs program. We have work programs already. WIN, Employment Search. We also have a food stamps employment training program that isn't factored in here and was not included in welfare reform. But of the folks that we have in our basic AFDC work programs right now, you can see what the numbers are there. In 88, 3,065, up from 1,466 and 81. In 1990, 3,252. And then in 91, when the jobs program kicks in, suddenly 8,000. People in our work program. Congress hasn't given us the money to pay for this, so they've given us some slack, told us we can bring these folks on gradually, and here's the rate at which we have to bring them on. 7% the first year, growing to 20% in 95. Again, respecting the fact that it's financially impossible. To do the whole thing. They haven't given us anywhere near enough money for this. And that gives you an idea of what below that point, the state will be penalized financially for failure to deliver these services. Up to that point, we meet the letter of the federal law, but that leaves in the right-hand column there all of those other folks unserved who are mandatory participants, which might provide part of the answer to your question about the Bush.
Yeah, I'm just wondering where we're going to get 7,000 new jobs.
I'm wondering the same thing.
Pardon?
I'm not sure. Seriously, that is a major problem.
Oh.
I'm not sure they all have to be
new. All right, I'll strike the word new.
Where are we going to get 7,000 jobs? Out there. I think there are some jobs.
It's correct to say that not all the jobs have to be new, because a person who goes out and finds their own job, you know, job search, for example, can take an existing job. But we can't take someone and put them into an employment training situation, a subsidized employment or whatever, in an existing job. We're prohibited from doing that by the federal law.
What about displacing foreign workers, for instance? Let's take a situation somewhere out in the chain where you have fisheries jobs, $6.50 an hour, and Alaskans didn't want to take them, so we imported Chinese to take the jobs, or Taiwanese to take the jobs. Are those new jobs or are those existing jobs?
Those are probably existing jobs, but, yeah.
I mean, there might be incentives for Alaskans through this, these kinds of incentives to take jobs at $6.50 an hour.
Those are really interesting questions. We need another hour to talk about these things. Here are the activities that are required. You can see it's a highly personalized, highly structured system that requires individual assessment, help with childcare, help with transportation, basic education, job skills training, and all that sort of thing. And we have some options on the other side in terms of what we can provide. Wrap this real fast. I'm not going to be able to cover the child support enforcement things today, Mr. Chairman, in view of this time. Perhaps
let's make this the final slide, and we'll continue later.
If it's going to be the final slide, then I'm going to make it a different one.
Okay.
Make it my final one.
Is this the killer slide?
This is the killer.
It was.
Yeah, you.
I'm glad this was buried in the past.
I misspoke earlier in response to your question. The 10 to 11 million is total cost.
Yeah.
Total cost. Half of that is state.
I think that's what you said.
That's right.
I was confused on that.
Anyway, here it is. In 89, we're absorbing the cost out of our existing budget. We did a revised program, took some money from other places, and we're paying for the implementation costs this year. The governor has authorized us to establish some positions that will allow us to deal with implementation timeframes.
We didn't mean to pad your budget that much.
That must be a legislative joke. $500,000 next year is our estimated cost, and basically that includes a modest amount of additional child care costs, but by and large is administrative in nature as we gear up. We are projecting, and with all due respect to the chair and his bill, we're projecting October 1st, 1990 startup for both the jobs program and the unemployed parent program. So these numbers reflect that and do not reflect an earlier beginning. $8 million in 91, $10 million in 92 as we bring on the last of that surge that comes in. I thank the committee and the chair for this opportunity, and I do have a great deal more information that I wasn't able to share with you today.
Can you get the lights?
Perhaps. We'll have another opportunity to go through that material, and I would look forward to addressing in particular some of the planning process that the Act specifies and some of the child support enforcement provisions, which hopefully will also provide part of the solution to our problem.
John, thank you very much. It was a very interesting briefing. We'll continue it at another time when we have the bills back before us, and I hope that to be in the relatively near future. Are there any more comments or questions or requests for information before we break up here today? Representative Boyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would just make a comment, too, for the people that appear to be interested in this subject in the room, that the Children's Caucus, John, we haven't talked about this yet, but I think that this is a perfect presentation for the Children's Caucus, and we'll talk with you about doing something probably in a couple weeks before that group of legislators. And also in our Budget Subcommittee for Health and Social Services, we're going to spend a couple of meetings talking through it. We're going to pass out materials early so we focus on the questions and the dollars and cents rather than some of the broader things we've been covering here today. But also in the Department of Revenue's budget where we talk about child support enforcement, I would hope that we'd have that narrow discussion as well. So there are going to be plenty of opportunities, I would hope, for a fuller understanding of this whole welfare reform.
I think it's really important for us to keep in mind that it's a package, mm-hmm. that it more has to move together more or less together. There are different implementation deadlines, and I didn't get to that slide either, but the key is that all of these things have to happen. They all have to come together at some point, and I appreciate the opportunity to share that with you. Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question about the plans, or perhaps you were planning to announce tomorrow's or for Thursday's hearing, or if there's going to be additional information that I should be prepared to provide?
No, this subject won't be back before us this week. It'll be at a later time, and we'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
So just one quick announcement before we go. The pharmacy subcommittee will be meeting today at noon here in the Hess Committee Room, and tell me the names again.
Alice Gall, Bloomberg.
Okay, those are the members of the subcommittee on the pharmacy bill. So if you all could join us promptly at noon here in the committee room. Is there any further business to come before us before I adjourn? If not, thank you all for attending. We'll adjourn at 9:55 a.m.
I was going to say that.
I've sat through hearings where I've been frustrated in the past.
That's a good idea. Yeah, you sound like you know what I'm
Members on your task force, what's happening?
On a long time, yes, it's not.
you'll be on your way to home. I've studied that thing 10 times over. And what it says, though, is that by 1994, they will have these studies in of mandatory wage withhold. And at that point, then Congress can decide whether they're going to go ahead and also extend it. In the actual statute, it says that it's actually a study of future. And I know that, Linda said that too, that it should be mandatory. Well, it's not mandatory, it's mandatory that the studies be done and that the Hess, federal Hess does their job and gets these studies in and then very important back to Congress on the effects of whether we want to proceed with that. They're going to be on a public outcry. Right?
Extension of the sunset, so long as it retains, so long as it retains pharmacy.
good option.
Right. Well, they didn't say that. They that was what I said. And what? And you don't know for sure. That's
of course. We will give them a provided.
Okay, so the feds agree and the interim pay those
$7.90.
You just implemented it, the feds are going to pay?
Well, that's what happened. We implemented the program. We have to do drug surveys and we're doing that
on health. I'd like to see some kind of legislation. I know people have to counties and stuff. Unless we have a real reason for what we have to do, you could say this is what we're doing, this is how we see it coming. But it's not working that way for
us. Do you have any work in the feds for
Well, they won't be able to
benefit these people.
I've got plenty of that.
I was also curious, did you hire last couple of months?
They never say, they always do. They'll never say, yes, if you submit it this way, we will
ask every day and I have time.
Because they want to be hired.
Did you go through the selection process or anything?
You have some discretion to have. Kim seems to think they will accept officials. But the problem is, I don't think we'll know that.
Yeah, because Steve had said
submitted
he
has March and they have, it takes between 60 and 90
days. And jobs in the academy. And I've just been waiting for
so it'll be too late.
Unless we get some preliminary indication from them, I don't know.
And what is the actual sunset
date? The last 3 weeks. I just thought, you know, every day.
July 1st, so.
Yeah,
we had to extend it another year.
Three, really.
I can do it 6 months. Yes. No one else is there.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I hope that comes through the fact that mini cabinet meets again sometime.
I guess we have
maybe I'll just flat out ask that question. There's something holding it up.
Well, I think this is.
No, but just to delay the implementation so that.
So it has to be appointed by.
It doesn't cost any money. I guess I don't see any harm. And the only harm I see is in terms of strategy. If you give up on that now, what are you going to have to give up on it? When you get this to the Senate? That's my
well, there's not much else you can do.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
But it's nice to show that you're willing to compromise.
So you sent some names there.
Well, we played the only card here.
We have our own preferences.
Well, they've been doing their lobbying, so that'll probably come up.
I
asked Johnny if I should put it in members' pack. And he's
going
to. Oh, really? Oh, really?
Well, yeah, there's a question if there's anything I can do to help if they get into a position.
I don't know where the story came from, but
I
know most of them are on here a lot.
I
did a lot of research. I'm surprised it wasn't a
good story. About the implementation process, but
it was a good story.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
the Board of Regents, the State Board of Education, don't get together to do it. We work with the State Job Training Board as a counselor. The doors for
yeah, and what's her name? Corsi said that she was educated by that article. She knew nothing about
the whole
Don Band situation. I said the pharmacists that she's talked to are worried, except for the
I don't know them.
Well,
it's an experience with
comforting to hear because you folks do have work to do. Imagine bringing a little bit of credibility and people, you know, although you might have some really good suggestions, folks are just really leery about it because, you know, we think that you might not do that. Yes, we're helping on this program. And we're willing to work with you if you want to
work
with us. But,
they should be at the
frustrating. What I've heard from the SBA is one of the things.
Mark.
Comes back to the state program, they might get less than you pay.
Well, I think everybody has to change the state. It's a bigger thing.
Right.
Oh, for sure. Testimony for a bill.
Okay.
That's possible.
Sure. Thanks for making contact.
Yeah.
We haven't said a whole lot about this. Mostly because we don't want to.
That's your perception. It's probably accurate.
Well, they just changed their membership, too. You were going to need to educate them because they've included some quite a few new labor members. But they do have a lot of members who represent AFD.
I don't know if we'll do the termination first. I don't know the order. No, we're going to start on March 7th. Yeah, but we'd like to, if you could work on this.
So she has to know
that Jean King. Okay, I'll see. On advisory council, especially free emancipation services.
Jewel Jones, the state chapter.
I don't know if that is going to affect me.
And she's basically a sort of voice in the UNC.
System review board, that's for this.
I think that they need to be educated because they have a lot of events, just like you
do. So it's mainly free emancipation.
Fun as it is.
Jenny Knight.
Right.
But I think assuming it's a woman, is eligible already. She doesn't have to have a social security.
Right.
Or this ex-spouse or this ex-parent to be eligible.
It's just,
so there's an incentive to her.
Jim, do you have a minute or are you...
Because after all, he really is in this crisis situation.
I don't know if he's one.
He's uncomfortable.
He's going to cost her a lot more.
Well, I'm not saying she'd be.
Rather not, but he would put pressure.
That, yeah, that's fair. Like, yeah. Coercion.
Yeah, that's my concern. Because it's a whole, you know, you don't have to pay child support.
Well, they sent a letter to Walt Furness because he requested it.
And Walt asked it to be put in the county file, so we've done it.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to speak to it.
Okay.
It's kind of self-explanatory. Is that filled out with Valerie?
Probably, yeah.
You have the question of acknowledging paternity out there.
Just to get rid of it.
Given the belief that the needs and problems are sociological reasons, not economic ones.
I guess that's it.
So,
have you heard anything about...
The other thing you have is the question of eligibility.
Well, no, except that it's going to be extremely difficult to get early funding this year because...
Can somebody explain to me what the dissociative problem is? I've heard that before and I don't understand.
We're going to take a crack at looking at this foundation program.
And the answer. Okay, you know, I was talking to Mark Boyer about the House Fiscal Policy.
Hi, Judy, nice to see you.
And he's somehow been more involved with education. He said he would like to see, and he's getting feedback from school districts, the cuts not come out of the foundation program, but come out
under the new
things.
Rule.
I mean, if in fact that's agreeable,
I'm not sure, but I don't care about the new.
Then why not go ahead and fund the foundation program now?
The custodial parent, the mom,
do it now,
is not going to be able to
I don't
support
know. I don't think
unless she is.
She
has to. She has to say. Yeah, she has to identify the debt, and she can't.
At least the House is saying
that's
we need $15 million.
That's current.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We're required to sanction her.
And a program refuses. All the school districts are saying
$15 million
alleges and provide evidence that.
Yeah, but out of the school district,
Go ahead.
It is an incest situation.
Yeah, that's good cause. And she doesn't have to name.
Except her, but all right, if she fails to provide the cause. We have to her needs on the grant when we give her some kids. And we have a lot of those cases.
What does that mean, a lot? Thousands?
In the rural,
hundreds.
Out of concept here, in a period of time, and it's probably still true, but 80% of all of the applications are in non-cooperation.
Yeah, it's really going to take some creativity to get to figure out ways to make the rural communities qualify for the district, like some kind of in-home. But there's got to be something that there's got to be a reason why they're taking care of other people's children, right? Where are the other people going?
Well, we know where people work in rural Alaska here. Department of Education, schools. Or Department of Health and Social Services.
And they're all administrators in the Department of Education.
Well, that's it. The biggest single employer in rural Alaska is education.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got a village of 200 people and it has a high school, because they all have high schools, everybody works in the high school.
Okay.
Have you read the IFN report, the ICER report, that they did for IFN on Western Alaska?
No.
Just dynamic.
The capita expenditures for state and federal government in Western Alaska, I don't think it's that much different from the rest of the state, is a little over $20,000. The total per capita value of state-administered transfer payments for needs-based transfer payments, all of our welfare programs, is $594, 2.9% of total state and federal expenditure out there. That's not a welfare community out here. That's a government-subsidized community, but it's not needs-based welfare. Less than 3% is welfare.
What's it? It's an AFN report that ICER did for AFN.
ICER did for AFN,
Employment in Western Alaska, or what?
No, it's government. It's a follow-up to People in Peril. But
it's the new one that just came out. It's the at-risk one.
I think I have seen it.
I was just reading a review copy, and I was stunned. It's really, really fascinating. Realize what that means? That means that welfare, all welfare payments are 75% of the PERMA fund dividend alone as a factor in the income, the cash income in that part of the state. PERMA fund dividend pays more than we do. They do it one fell swoop, boom.
Yeah, that's
amazing. We meter it out month after month, and you got to send in your MMRs, and you got to do this, and you got to apply.
Yeah, I mean, these are just.
Yeah, but you know, when you talk to people like George Irvin and Julie Kirchhoff from AFN,
they changed this from 15 million to 50.
They are really concerned about
if they cut 15 or 20 million out of education.
I mean, they say things to us like, you know, you encourage us to finish high school,
and they agree not to finish in the foundation.
For what? So we can all move to Anchorage? I mean, what do we do if we want to come back to the village? I mean, the village is going to be ghost towns unless we can find
somewhere. This is the library book. They're
still.
My wife works there, and she gets me all these books before they put on the shelf.
But, you know, this weekend or Friday,
his thesis is
the summit, that the governor's summit agreed to about 50 million.
Work 82%
so it's somewhere
of them work.
Closer to this than
28% work full time year round. People may be 25 in poverty. And, he says that the only solution, he says the problem is that at any given point in time there may be three people looking
not to take it out of the foundation,
job,
but take
or
it
up to 10 people.
Well, that's easy for
one job.
They would,
and
you know,
so the solution is to create more jobs.
Yeah.
And
why,
then the second half of the solution
well,
is that
their budget,
you can't live on minimum wage jobs. So you've got to subsidize the family up to
everybody's
poverty level. If they're working full time, they're doing their share.
Yeah.
Well, and part of the problem is what kind of jobs we have available. I mean, sure,
it's not people transportation, and
it's
Anchorage. You know, the urban area is harder
than the
rural
wage. All the jobs we have available are jobs in the service industry.
I mean, these figures here just don't add up.
Like even jobs in tourism. I mean,
I assume you're also looking at
to take those jobs up into now because they have here with transportation out there and back.
It costs $10
a
day,
90%
of
the
year.
And it's the same old story, it's just incentive to work.
It takes $6
an hour.
There really isn't a lot of business to take them. You can't, there's enough money in the operating budget to get the part
three. No, it's not. Not
so anytime somebody works
less than
that,
this figure here is much less than
and we shouldn't be
I mean,
about
and over, if you're trying to achieve $150 million,